Grow Great is a city government leadership podcast with Lisa Norris and me, Randy Cantrell. Each week we share insights, experiences, and wisdom to help you and your leadership grow great. Our website is growgreat.com. A wise man speaks because he has something to say. A fool speaks because he has to say something. I don't know if this is about, I posted that on my Facebook, and privately I've gotten considerable amount of feedback. Now I posted a few other things, but that was the big one. And we've all been in these, situations. We're in a meeting, we're in a conference room, and there's that person that they've just got to pipe up and say something. It may or may not move the conversation forward. Probably doesn't. And in many cases, I guess what was on my mind when I posted that was listening, or lack of listening. I think it was it Stephen Covey or, somebody, listen to understand. He's most noted. He's not the first person to say that, but in his books, Seven Habits, he mentioned, listen for understanding. While the fact is most of us do listen, we are listening for the pause so that we can insert ourselves or we can say whatever is on our mind.
Respond, right.
Yeah, and I don't know. I've said to Lisa and all of you before, my week seemed to have themes that emerge, and this is one that emerged last week of people particularly popping up. While the leader in the room, let's call him a CEO, is thinking, were you even listening? And it got me kind of fixated on our listening habits or lack of, and why that seems to be so difficult for some people. But then all you have to do is just spend a little bit of time. I've spent some time this week just watching some YouTube interviews of people talking about modern culture and just the way society is and just all of the mayhem and the shouting and the trench digging and not really listening. I don't know where I want to go with this, Lisa, other than it's something that we haven't spent a bunch of time talking about, and the role of, let's narrow it down. Listening as it relates to our leadership, and in your career, how powerful, I would suspect, if your career is like every other career that I've been associated with, your career mostly has been propelled by your ability to listen as well as understand, as opposed to your ability to speak. Now, I'm not downplaying our ability to speak and communicate, but it's our ability to receive the message and hear what people are telling us so that then we can do something with that. So we can grow based on whatever feedback we get. And some of that's positive. Some of that doesn't feel quite in the moment so positive. I don't know. Where does your head go when you hear that quote? A wise man speaks because he has something to say. A fool speaks because he has to say something.
Well, I definitely it doesn't matter which role I've been in. I was an analyst at one point in Carrollton. I moved to a manager role, then to a director role. Now I'm managing director role, kind of like an ACM and city manager's office. Regardless of role, listening plays a huge part. And listening to me is much more expansive than just hearing what somebody's saying. Listening is a focus on them and what they're saying that they didn't say. In my book, I always attribute that to watching their body language, watching if they're nervous about something, if I can tell they're not saying what they need to say. It's very intuitive. You've got to listen and watch at the same, kind of use all your senses kind of at the same time, because listening so often is just, like you said, it's really trying to hear what they are saying and what they're not saying, and get to whatever it is you're trying to get to, whether that's you're trying to tell them something that's difficult to hear, whether you're trying to understand their current situation. Listening is absolutely huge, especially in human resources, because there's not only with your team when I was there, but with all the people you're serving that are coming to you as a resource. It's a little quieter up in the city manager's office because I have fewer direct reports. In HR, I kind of had the whole city. Our team did. And when I say I'm meaning we had the whole city that comes to us for needs and expertise and guidance. And, you know, in the city manager's office, it's a little bit quieter because I've just got my four direct reports that kind of come to me. And so, but listening's key. You have to listen. You have to hear what they're saying, and you have to provide adequate feedback without interjecting yourself continually. It's really about them, not about us. And so it's trying to hear what their issue or problem is and understanding where they're, what they're trying to achieve through that, whether it's guidance, whether it's input, whether it's personal, you know what I mean? It's really a little bit more intuitive than just sitting there and hearing the words coming out of their mouth, in my opinion.
This has been somewhat challenging for me, not as a practitioner, but the judgment part has been kind of difficult for me in my life because I'm a noticer. That's just who I am. And I didn't like that as a kid, but I learned to embrace it. And I can be in a group setting and it is just not in me to think, ooh, I got something to say. It's just, I'm not wired that way. So I've had to learn a little bit of compassion and not judgment for people that are wired, who enter the room wanting to speak. I don't enter any room wanting to speak. I don't enter any room ever wanting to be the first to speak. If anything, my preference is to be the last to speak because I want to get some sense of the room, and I'm watching people. So Grand Prairie, I do some training. We did some training with 10 mentors who each were assigned two or three, I call them proteges.
We did group mentorship. Yeah.
And so the setup has me, it's a horseshoe kind of arrangement, and I'm at the end of one horseshoe. And so on my end of the horseshoe, I'm sitting side by side with three or four people who I can't see. I can see the person right next to me, but then I've got two or three people beyond that person that I can't see. And yeah, it was a little bit vexing. I mean, I got past it. It wasn't debilitating or anything, but so I got these out of 10 people, I've got two or three people. I can't see their face. I can't see their body language. And it drove me crazy. Now, I could have gotten up and moved and plopped myself right in the center of the horseshoe. And that was not an option for me. That doesn't feel good at all. But then I've realized that there are these people. I was in a business meeting not long ago, and this is a large group of people. Well, I say large, it's 30 people. And invariably, some of the first people to speak are going to be the youngest, most novice people who are, they can't wait to tell you their opinion. They can't wait to tell you what they think about an issue. There's not been any discussion. It's just been a bullet point that's been thrown out there. And then it's followed with a number of usually novices, I'm going to go ahead and say it, foolish novices who are going to pipe up and say, well, I think, followed by whatever they think. No lay of the land, no listening to any conversation, no sense of where anybody else is feeling about this thing or how they feel about that thing. And that really, you know, that really is on my mind. I have found in my own leadership, listening has propelled me forward. Yes, words have too, but of the two, the listening trumps it. The listening trumps it big time. because I've learned in coaching, if I'm doing most of the talking, it's not going to be a good experience for the client. Now, there are exceptions to that. Sometimes when people are just in the throes of it and they want a lifeline, they're craving somebody to tell them what to do, which I won't do, but I kind of play a trick game. It kind of sounds like I'm doing it, but I'm not doing it, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. But with that exception, it always pays off when the client is doing the talking and I'm doing the listening, and I'm piping in enough that they know I'm not just hearing them. They know I'm understanding what they're saying. And I have found in my own leadership that that works. If you are accustomed to being the first to enter the room talking and you are the last to be talking as you leave the room, I would say you need to check yourself, because your leadership, you're hurting your leadership. I would bet everything you're absolutely hurting your leadership.
Well, you have talked about it before. It's something that I had to work on, that, you know, you learn traits that you didn't realize you're doing. That would be one of them early in my career, that I remember, there was a gentleman that used to work here named Tom Cox. He was a deputy city manager. I was a manager at the time, and you have the lesson you learned at 16 from the guy that said, our customers are gentlemen.
Yeah.
They're not, yeah, guys, they're not guys or whatever it was. Gentlemen. Yes.
Right. My Don Stoffel moment, I call it.
Don Stoffel. There you go. I couldn't remember his name, but, I had a moment similar to that. And I was invited, it was nice. I was invited to meetings with the city manager and deputy city managers, because Tom Hart, our former city manager, called me into budget meetings. I said, Tom, why are you calling me into citywide budget meetings? I know nothing about budget, and further, I'm not good at numbers, you know? And so he's like, I called you in here because you asked great questions that none of us are thinking about, and I want your perspective on it. And so I was like, okay. And of course that makes you feel good at the time. But I remember, we were in these budget meetings, and it happened to be in my area in HR at the time. And I had asked for some money for, I don't know what it was. It was a lot of money at the time. It seems like it was 100 grand or something. I'm like, we really need this because blah, blah, blah. And he's like, okay. And I said, and you know, it would help us. Da, 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 da. And he's like, yeah, that sounds good. And I was like, and then I can push it out. And finally, Tom Cox, the deputy city manager under Tom, he starts laughing. He goes, don't oversell it. Don't oversell it. Uh-huh. He goes, we got it, Lisa. You're good. And
yeah.
I was like,
yeah. When the customer says yes, shut up.
Yeah. So, you know, it was funny. They laughed, but it was a moment that stood out in my mind of, yes, he said yes.
Right.
That's good. Stop talking. And so I had to catch myself because I'm so eager. Right. And I was so passionate about it. And I've caught myself still in moments. Even Don, my husband, corrected me on, we were in a meeting just in the last few years, and he's like, babe, let them finish talking. This was after the fact. And I'm like, oh, was I interrupting? He goes, well, you're so excited about it. I could tell,
right?
But you kept interjecting. And he said, just let them finish their thoughts. So I can still catch myself doing it even now. But I'm trying to be much more thoughtful about it. And you learn that it's life, right? You learn through life experiences and people gently correcting you and telling you the why, which I always appreciate, because we can grow in those moments and you recognize maybe what I didn't hear myself doing. So I am aware of that and try to be watchful of it, especially when I'm excited about something, you know? So I agree with you. It's a fine balance, and listening is critical, and listening is much more effective when you say less and ask the right questions, and you're a master at that. You ask, you know, you allow, even when we've worked together, you allow me to share and talk, and then you'll ask a very pointed question, which gets me thinking again and probably gives you more insight. And I appreciate that approach of not telling, not judging anything that I've mentioned, but instead you're asking questions to understand where I'm coming from, so that together we get to where we're needing to go. It's a collaborative effort instead of a, you know, it's easy for us all to listen and then either tell them what to do or make a judgment on them because of what they said, that's an easy place to go for many, but yeah, it's not effective.
Yeah. The collaboration part is, I think, is should deserve some heavy emphasis, because we're not talking about entering a room and not speaking and not participating.
Correct.
We're not talking about being disengaged. That doesn't work. You know, for me, it all harkens back to curiosity. Rhonda and I've got some friends, and they're perfectly fine, but I'll pick on them. Any conversation that you have is going to spark a story, and it's going to be a pretty long-winded story. And over time, I've discovered there's never a question. They never ask a question, which is puzzling to me. To a guy like, because I know the thing that I'm just naturally bent toward. I'm curious. I would far rather know more about you than to talk about myself. But that's just me. That just feels better for me. But this, you know, this husband wife. They can each just hold forth and go on and on. And you hear the story and you're like, you don't even remember what prompted the story. And there's never any questions of anybody else in the conversation circle. There's never a question, you know, and it's just like, it's interesting to me. And again, I've had to lean hard into, okay, don't judge this. Especially don't judge that there's some evil plot afoot here. There isn't. It's just, these are people who are naturally wired to tell their tale. They just aren't wired like I'm wired. Well, I want to hear your tale. I want to hear your story. I mean, what's this all about?
And we're all aiming for, we all may be shooting for different things. We all may have different goals in mind. And often, you know, I equate it to projects, because we all have projects in our careers. Doesn't matter what role you're in, industry, level, doesn't matter. We all have projects in our careers. And the way I get through a project may be absolutely different, Randy, than you would approach a project. The same exact project, if given to each of us, your approach That's right. and my approach may be completely different. But really what's important, what's the outcome that's expected? And did I get there? And what's the timeline? And did I meet it? That's what's critical. How you get there may be a little different, but I'm a big believer in, you know, communicating what the needs are, communicating what the outcome is, and what is your timeline to meet it? And is there anything you don't want me doing or you do want me doing that's critical? If you give me those things and that criteria, then allow me to move through it. Empower me enough to get there how I would do it, even if it's a little different than how you might have done it. And I tried to do that because individuals are so uniquely different. When you're leading, I've got directors now, and even on their projects, they may have gotten there a little differently than I did, but I try to understand what made them get there. What was your reason for taking that approach? And if they said, and I said, okay, I totally understand that. May not have been the way I would have done it.
Right.
But it doesn't make it wrong. It just makes it different. So
how much of
that's
this
always critical when you listen.
How much of this in your opinion? Because I don't want, you know, we're not talking about, come on, we can't live our lives 100% strategic, meaning I'm gonna premeditate every single thing that I think about, every single word that comes out.
Impossible.
Yeah. I mean,
and ineffective.
Yeah. Completely. So how do you personally measure that with making sure that when you're in a meeting, for instance, especially when there's more than a few people, mm-hmm. that you're saying something because you have something to say, and you're not saying something just because you feel like you have to, I need to say something. I mean, have you got anything, what's going on in your head in those moments?
Well for me, first, and let me speak about the role I'm in now, because it does change. So in the role I'm in now, I'm in a huge learning role. learning curve, enormous, you know, because I've never been in this position, projects that I know nothing about that I'm having to learn. So let's talk about that for a minute. When we have weekly meetings in our city manager's office team with the, myself, the other managing director, the two deputy city managers and city manager. It's a 1 hour meeting. We go around the room while they're giving updates. One, I'm listening to what's critical to them because it immediately gives me, if Bill and Cheryl and Megan go first, they immediately talk about the things. They aren't going to bring it up if it wasn't critical because we've all got 30 things going on, but they're going to bring up like three. If they bring up those three, I immediately know those are important and make a mental note of it. Second is because of the way they're doing it, that leads me, I'm listening to what how they're doing it, one, and I'm bringing up my top three, not everything. It was different in HR. In HR, when we had meetings, I had my managers reporting to me, and we went through everything on the work plan. They would lead their stuff. I would lead my stuff. The other one would lead their stuff. And it just kept everybody updated. We're not at that level here. It's very high. So I kind of take the lead on that. I think it's important when I need to speak, it needs to, one, be minimal because of time. And two, it needs to be stuff that I know is important to them. The other stuff I'm working on that's unimportant is kind of irrelevant. I can handle that in my weeklies with Cheryl. This is the big stuff. So one, listening is key. Speaking when you're spoken to is key. And only saying the bare necessities that are fruitful for the conversation at hand. That's what I perceive as critical in those moments. That's just one example in that type of meeting. When you talk about a second type of meeting is when I'm talking with my directors and they're going over their projects. I'm literally just listening at that point and asking clarifying questions of something I might need to know that's important because I don't want to get in too far into their business, right? Their directors, they know. I don't want to get into the weeds on what they're doing unless something I know is important that I need more information on. Because I don't need to tell them how to do it. I just need to understand what they're doing in the event it comes up and I can say, hey, yeah, I was briefed on that. We're here, right? Just enough to give them. They don't need to know how we're doing everything either. Bill didn't want to know. Cheryl didn't want to know. They just need to know it's getting done. So hopefully that gives perspective. You need to have awareness to speak effectively on the topic and not waste everybody's time by going too far.
Yeah, there have been times where I learned as a young leader to kind of not poison the well, to enter a room and you throw a problem or an opportunity out there to a group of people, and then you go ahead as the leader and you go ahead and give them your opinion. Okay, well, you've just effectively shut the whole thing down because you've already told them kind of what you think about it, and plus I learned that it teaches them, okay, well, he's already made up his mind, so what's the point? Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the point in having a conversation, you know? We thought we were going to have a discussion. We thought we were going to have a brainstorm session, for instance, or something, and leaders can be really bad about doing that, you know? So one advice I would have is, if you're throwing something out there for your team to wrestle with, even if you have preconceived ideas of where you want to go, shut up. Mm-hmm. Shut up and let them wrestle it out in open in front of you, and don't tell them what you're thinking because they might change your mind. And then if they don't and you do have something to say and you do have reasons, then tell them what you're thinking. A part of this for me, I guess it gets back to a why, which is kind of a popular topic today. You know, what's your why? But it's reason. It's giving people the reason for things as leaders. So for me, part of when you do have something to say, so many times our teams, okay, well, we hear it. We don't know any of the reasoning behind it. We don't know why we're doing this or what got us to this point, and I found it horribly, horribly destructive for a culture to not do that, to not tell people why, because we do tend to assume the worst. So I don't know. I can't emphasize enough lay of the land, reading the room, getting some sense of it, and letting people speak their mind. You know me. First, do no harm. Don't do any damage. I just can't see the downside of giving somebody the opportunity, even if what they have to say, even if their perspective is different than mine, or even if they might be leaning toward a decision that maybe I know going in, I'm not going to make this decision. They're not going to get their way on this. Mm-hmm. And there have been times where that's been true. I just haven't found it profitable to go ahead and say that, to just bite my tongue, hold my peace, and hear them out. The advantage is they get to be heard, if indeed that's you're true and you're genuine about it. And I am. I do want to hear their perspective. I do want to understand their perspective. But I'm also bent toward, I want them to understand mine. Mm-hmm. So if they say, well, we need to go in this direction, I'm like, but I'm convinced we need to go in this other direction. I want them to know why I'm convinced of this. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy for there to be some debate. I get that some leaders aren't bent that way. Mm-hmm. I understand that. There's not one way to do this. This isn't about one style or one personality. But I think the more that we can embrace this collaborative, you use the word, and I think it's probably the best one for us to understand. There's other humans in this room, and they have a viewpoint. They're coming at it perhaps from a different viewpoint than ours. And if I do have something to say, then be courageous and say it. Say it as well as you can say it. But if you don't have anything to say, then don't.
Right. The it goes back to our leadership recipe for those listeners that are familiar with that. But basically, like you mentioned, Randy, you have to have curiosity. If somebody is saying something, it catches your, I mean, typically it's a conversation. All of a sudden you go, okay. I mean, it's that moment. If people are not watching and you're listening, it's kind of the question mark in your head that pops up based on something somebody has just said, a word, a phrase, maybe a direction you wouldn't have gone. The most effective, safe, and trust-building method to approach that is curiosity. Start asking questions. Well, you mentioned this. Can you tell me more? You know, or that's not the direction I would have gone, but can you tell me why? You know, why you're doing that? And truly seeking knowledge to reach understanding of their perspective. Then you can guide them. If you say, have you, like you've mentioned, have you thought about, well, yeah, I thought about that. And here's the conflict it created. And here's the more you're asking versus placing judgment, the better and more collaborative it will be. And not only that, the benefit of listening, asking, and seeking understanding through the knowledge you gain, it creates trust. I mean, why wouldn't we as a collaborative team want to understand each other more and get unified on the approach, if that's the case, or empower them to however, whatever they're doing for you, it's empowering them to do it in a manner that works for them, that also meets your needs. Doing that jointly and collaboratively is so effective. The most destructive can be where they're saying it, there's judgment placed. And we've all been in those conversations before, either with leaders or your team. They just do it their way, period. That's first ineffective. But secondly, eventually they'll stop. The creativity will stop flowing. The empowerment will stop flowing. They're just going to ask you, what do you want me to do? And how do you want me to do it? You know, and we've had that quote before. Basically, when your team becomes silent, that's a much bigger issue. When they're no longer, they just want to know your perspective and your thoughts. That's where you know, hey, I need to get back to collaboration and understanding and those simple business principles and leadership recipes, ingredients that we've talked about before.
Thanks for watching and listening to Grow Great, a city government leadership podcast. For Lisa Norris, I'm Randy Cantrell. Be well, do good, grow great. The website is growgreat.com.